Let me see here, find out where it's at. Matthew 20, I had it written down. What did I do with it? Anyway, anywhere in Matthew you can get there, that'd be fine. I always do this. I put my message in there so I can find it, then I can't find it. This morning I'm going to preach a little bit about music, And, you know, everybody has a problem with music, or they say, I don't have no problem with music, but I've got, you know, I like my music, and I'm going to listen to my music, I'm going to do what I want. And that's the way most Christians are. When I first got saved, my biggest problem was I had long hair, and I didn't like nobody telling me about my hair. And, you know, and I wasn't a sissy. I wasn't one of them hippies. I was more of a redneck kind of guy, and I had long hair, and I still drank some beer and stuff like that. I don't know what I did with that thing, but I know where it's at, right here. So I still drank and did a few things, and I still drank a couple beers here and there, and then, you know, when I first got saved, and then I said, nobody's going to tell me about music. I want to listen to my music. My music is the most important thing to me. And you notice people have their own music, and they got it downloaded on their phone, and they like listening to their music and all that stuff. And the problem, most of the time, the problem is with your music. And you can usually test a Christian where they're at in this Christian life is by the kind of music they listen to. That's the way you can test it. And the kind of music you listen to, if I get around you long enough and listen and hear what you're listening to, I can tell you what you really are. When it comes to being, whether you're a good Christian or whether you're just a phony, a fake, somebody puts on an act, and you only, you know, sing the gospel songs when you come to church and all that stuff. You said, well, this kind of stuff is boring. I know when I first got saved, I went to church. I said, man, this is boring. This music is boring. But the more I listen to it, the more I listen to the songs, it's all about him. It's singing about him. It's not about me. Most songs today is all about me or about somebody raping somebody, or, you know, I listen. You can't even listen to rap. We had a boy come here one time. He said, hey, preacher. And he said, hey, preacher, can I read a poem? And I said, sure. And I gave him the microphone. And as soon as I gave him the microphone, his name was it Obed? Was it Obed that did that? As soon as I gave him the microphone, he put his hat on back and he put the phone microphone like this. And he started trying to rap. I went, whoa, we don't do that in here, man. He goes, oh. And then he tried to read his poem in a rap sense. And you know, it was just crazy. But rap music, I call it crap music. That's what it is. Rap, crap, and then you got rock and roll. I saw a woman the other day. I was sitting in the plaza. I was getting ready to give her a track. She has an AC/DC on her shirt. AC/DC, you know why they came up with that name, AC/DC? Everybody thinks they're the greatest band, one of the greatest bands. They came up with that name, the AC/DC, they go either way, men or women. Makes no difference. It's like a plug. You plug it into the electric or it goes batteries. They go either way. So people don't know much about, they think they know about music. I told Jesse one time, I said, I know more about music than you know at the one time. And he goes, no, you don't. You don't know nothing about music like I know. And we argued, and I said, look, I know what God blesses and what God doesn't. And I said, and I know when God blesses something and when he doesn't. Then he shut up. And I said, when you're able to tell when God's blessings on something and when God uses something, then you can talk about it. And then, you know, he can talk about it now. He knows when God blesses something. He knows when God's on it. Now, you don't think up in heaven that they got, you know, the Lord stands up and says, all right, let's everybody sing. It'd be like the Blues Brothers, everybody dancing, jumping down the aisle. You don't think that's going on in heaven, do you? And where the guys get up there, sunglasses on, everybody's doing this junk and all that. You don't think they're doing that in heaven, do you? They're doing that in hell, I guarantee you. In hell, they're probably playing it. They're probably going, I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear that stuff. So, but music is important in a Christian's life. And it's going to be what makes you prepared for whatever. When you come in here in the church service, we come in, we sing these songs. It's to prepare your heart to think about God. That's what it's for. So when you get out in your car, usually I get in people's car, and then they got a certain type of music on. When I get in their car to move it or whatever, they got a certain kind of music going, and then they go, oh, I got to turn that on. And they turn. You hear them when they pull up red light. And some of the rap music is so filthy. It's F this, F that, all that stuff. And they're saying all kinds of stuff. And you're listening to that stuff. You're putting that in the ears. That's what kind of person you are. That's what kind of person you really are. I mean, we all got a fallen nature. We all got a bad, sometimes get bad spirits on us. But if you listen to that stuff, it's going in your ears. That's what you become. You become what you listen to. You become acting like what you listen to. You'll have your pants hanging down, showing your underwear. That, you know, I've seen guys hanging their pants down. They got stains in their underwear walking around in Walmart. What a thing, man. Walking around with stains in your underwear. You're really proud. You're really cool, man. You're really cool. You got your underwear hanging out and you got stains in there. And who in the world wants to talk to you? And as a matter of fact, they don't even get close to you. But you see people going around listening to all kinds of crazy stuff. That country western, you know, it's all the guys come out there. They got their country hat on, and they got their tight jeans on, and they're dancing around. The girls going crazy. Elvis, I never could understand it back in the day. Elvis would get up there and shake his hips, and all the girls, the Beatles, a bunch of fairies come out there, and they would out there be singing, and everybody, just go crazy. And they would go nuts over the Beatles. They would go nuts over the monkeys. And, you know, isn't there something that Beatles, that's a bug you just want to kill? You got monkeys hanging from a tree. And you got all these other names that they come up with. Got all that crazy names. And people think, oh, that's the greatest music there ever was. I'm going to tell you something. What the greatest music ever was is when they're singing praises to God. When Handel wrote the Handel's Messiah, the Queen of England stood up and bowed her head. And when I heard Handel's Messiah sang by church choirs, I stood up and shouted my head off. I've been to places where they started singing Handel's Messiah, or they started singing something about Jesus Christ, and man, I just get excited. I get excited about singing praises to him. And what you can tell in a Christian's life, when God starts getting praised, they go like this. They don't want to hear it. When they start praising man, when they start praising each other or praising their own flesh or praising some kind of filth, then they get excited. They get excited. So you say, that's in the Bible. That's in the Word of God. Now look in your Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Look at Matthew 26. Actually, yes, it's 26. Look at Matthew 26. And Jesus Christ is talking about, he said, well, music is just music. It's just neutral. No, it ain't. Music prepares you for something. You know, a guy, if he's trying to seduce a woman, he brings her to the house, he don't put on heavy metal. He don't put on some, you know, rap, blank and blank. He put on, you know, Barry White. You know who Barry White is. And he puts on that soft music and all that stuff, trying to entice a woman. But look at here. All men are dogs. I'm going to tell you that. All men are dogs. It says, and chapter 26, verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to his disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood, New Testament, and it, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus said, I'm not going to drink this fruit of the vine. Notice it wasn't wine. It wasn't ripple. It wasn't fermented wine. He said the fruit of the vine. When the Bible tells you, see the Bible, like David was saying, he said you ought to study your Bible. The Bible tells you that the fruit of the vine, it's called new wine, is in the cluster. As if you read Isaiah 64, 6, it says it's squeezed out. It's called new wine. And Jesus said, the fruit of the vine, I won't drink it until I drink it with you in heaven. He'll drink it with us at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And look what the next verse says. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And I've said last week we was up in the Mount of Olives. And they were in the upper chamber. They went from Jerusalem over to the Mount of Olives, and they sang a hymn before they left. You said, what hymn did they sing? I don't know, man. But I tell you what, I would love to hear it. I would love to hear the song that Jesus Christ sang with his disciples. Wouldn't you love to hear that? One day you'll find out what it is. I mean, we got a song book about 500 songs in it, and we just sang a bunch of songs here just a minute ago. You know, we sang just some beautiful songs, man, that have been written. One of them, Fanny Crosby wrote, called Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And Fanny Crosby was blind all her life, wrote over 1,000 songs about Jesus Christ, about one man. You never find Fanny Crosby wrote a song about herself. She wrote songs about Jesus Christ. She was blind, born blind. So I know some. I've talked to people that were blind. Jesse was born blind. I've talked to people blind. They were bitter at God. And they've had bitterness over some things happening in their life. But, man, Fanny Crosby wasn't bitter at God. She was worshiping God. And when a true worshiper, Jesus said he's looking for true worshipers, when a person really worships God, they'll be careful. If they're saved, they'll realize their body belongs to God. Your body, if you're here and you're saved, your body belongs to God. What God wants you to do is give your body back to him. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, Paul wrote this, by the mercy of God, he present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So if you give your body back to God, you'll be careful what you listen to. You'll be careful what you're looking at. You'll be careful what you're touching. You'll be careful what you're saying out of your mouth. I mean, when I first got saved, I had a problem with my mouth. I had a problem with the music. I had a problem with all the things. As I grew, as I got older in the Lord, I started, man, understanding things. I started understanding what God wanted in my life, what God wanted expected of me, what way he expected me to act. He didn't want me to use my mouth for cursing. A lot of people say, well, I can't help it. He don't want you to use your mouth. The Bible says, can blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth? He don't want you to use your mouth for cursing and saying all kinds of filth. He don't want you to use your ears for things. The Bible says, that's why Jesus always said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He don't want you to use your ears to listen to a bunch of filth.
Amen.
He don't want you to listen to a bunch of garbage on the radio. I mean, he don't want you to hear all that stuff. When I was growing up, I liked Motown. Motown was my music and some of the rock and roll. But Motown was it. My wife and I'd go dance. We'd go dance. We like to go to discos and stuff like that. We'd dance all the time. And man, we just loved like Motown. And man, after I got saved, I tried to take Motown and put the words of Jesus to the songs. And I said, that would make it a lot better. Make it a lot better if I went to church and they sang Motown. Now, it ain't, when you get to heaven, it's not going to be James Brown up there dancing all over the floor and the Blues Brothers are falling down or flipping down the aisle and everybody's dancing around in heaven like that. It ain't going to be like that. That's a lot of people's mentality of what heaven really is. They think the rock band's going to come out. No, it ain't. It ain't going to happen that way. They don't, the music of the Lord is different. Now, even the Bible says when they were taken in captivity in Psalms 127, I think it was somewhere in there. And they said, the Babylonians said to the children of Israel, said, sing one of them songs about God. Now, they were mocking. Sing one of them songs about God. You know why? Whenever you can sing, it means you have victory in your life. When I'm talking about the Lord's songs. You have victory. And the Bible talks about bringing happiness in your life and peace and joy. And but the Lord's song, they said, sing one of them songs of the Lord. They said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know what I found? I found most Christians are living in strange lands and they can't sing the song of God.
Amen.
You won't sing the song of the Lord. Yeah. Now, the Bible says that Jesus sung a hymn and they went out. And I mean, you think about what if they sang, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. They didn't even know that was going to happen. Man, you think, what if they sang Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. Now, the Bible wanted to show you that. Take your Bible, look over in 2 Chronicles. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29. The children of Israel, they quit singing over here. And then Hezekiah shows up, and Hezekiah says, wait a minute, we need to be singing. We need to be singing. When the Lord's sacrifice is going on and all that stuff, we need to be singing about the Lord. We need to be praising him. And so Hezekiah starts cleaning out the temple, and he starts telling the children of Israel, get yourself together, get your house in order, and let's start singing praises to God. You know, it's a blessing to me to hear my grandkids. We was sitting there listening to gospel music. And then my grandkids going down the road singing songs. And I go in with them. I sing with them. We sing gospel songs. And we start carrying on. I start shouting. And man, we start praising God. And they get amazed over that. They see him pop up, shout over a song. Or get weeping and crying. Look at this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, a guy named Hezekiah comes along. And we don't have time to go through all the chapter. But look at verse 20. And Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered all the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought seven bullocks, seven rams, seven lambs, seven he-goats, for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, for Judah. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So that, you know, we don't have to offer animals anymore. We don't have to. Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And in verse 23, it said they brought forth the goats and so on. And look on down, verse 25. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and psaltery and harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gath, the king seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood in the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, the king, David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped. You know, singing, a right kind of singing should get you prepared to worship. We say singing is praise to God. And what happens is when you're singing to him, it should be a deep feeling in your heart about worship. And we put on the sign out there, worship hour, 11 o'clock. But a lot of times there's no worship going on. There's no real worship going on in your heart and in your life. You're not really saying, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. God, you've been so good to me. I don't deserve to be here. Brother Ron, I think, prayed that. So, Lord, we don't deserve anything from even now after we've been saved. We don't deserve God's mercy. But I tell you what, worship should be the highest, attitude of any Christian that's ever been born, ever will be born, anybody that's saved, it should be the highest attitude in our lives of worshiping God. I worship God. And I mean, you can worship God not only in church, but you can worship God on your own. And most Christians I find, they don't worship God. They always turn the radio on, they're turning something else on, and they're singing along with those rock songs or whatever there was they used to listen to, or they do listen to. They'll turn that stuff on and start listening to that mess. And that mess will mess up your head. And it'll bring unclean spirits with it. Unclean spirits kind of gravitate towards that kind of music. Unclean spirits gravitate towards rap. They gravitate towards rock and roll. Unclean spirits gravitate towards country music. You say, man, you're taking all our music away. No, the music of God is the way you ought to be, what every Christian ought to be singing. Look what the Bible says. They worshiped. It says they burnt offering, they gave themselves or gave the offering and sung the song of the Lord began with the trumpets, with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped and the singers sang and the trumpeters sound and all continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering the king and then all that were present with him bowed themselves in worship. Now, moreover, Hezekiah, king of princes, and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praises unto the Lord with the words of David. And so they're singing praises, and the Bible says, and they sang praises with gladness. They sang to God. And like I said, when I first got saved, that was the hardest thing I had to deal with, was my music. I remember telling my wife, I said, ain't nobody going to tell me about my music. Ain't nobody. If somebody says to me about my music, I'm going to tell them where they can go. And I had a hard time with it. I like my music. I'm going to listen to my music. I'm going to do what I want. Until the Lord got a hold of my heart. And when God showed me about music, when he showed me about it, that's when I yielded myself. I said, okay, God, if that music's wrong, I won't listen to it no more. I'm not going to listen to that mess. Sometimes I'll go through my radio dial and I'll come along an old song. Even one from the 50s. Some of y'all know some of the old songs. In the 50s, they sang about, you know, my sweetheart. They sang about my car. They sang about a car. And they sang about nothing can't whip, nothing can't beat my 409 and all that kind of crazy stuff. And I'll come across a song like that and I'll start listening to it a little bit. And I'll be like, oh, man, I'm turning that thing off. I don't want to hear that mess. And, man, I don't want to get messed up. I really don't want to drive or have any spirit come around me and get me back in the old way. I don't want that. I want to listen to the right kind of music. I want these ears God gave me. I want to be careful what I listen to. And you ought to feel the same way when it comes to music. You ought to feel the same way when it comes to worshiping God. I mean, man, when they started confessing things, they got on the altar. They started doing what was right. They cleaned up the house. I mean, Hezekiah's father was he wasn't right. He didn't do right. And Hezekiah didn't follow his dad. He didn't follow his mom. He said, man, I'm going to do what's right. So he started cleansing the house of God. He starts getting the people right with God. He started telling the Levites, get yourself together. I mean, get your heart right. And man, then all of a sudden, they started worshiping God. And man, God showed up. Whenever real worship takes place, God will show up. You know, first time in the Bible, you'll find singing. I went through this before. Exodus chapter 15, when Israel came out of Egypt, and man, they crossed the Red Sea, and the Bible says Moses' sister picked up a timbal, and she started singing and dancing. And you said, what do you mean dancing? She wasn't doing the dance that we do. She was leaping and shouting, and they were singing praises to God. And look with me. Look at Exodus chapter 15. Look with me. Some of y'all think looking at me like I'm half crazy. But look at this. Look at Exodus 15. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. Because of what happens is most Christians that listen to that kind of music, they don't stay living for God very long. I mean, they start cursing. They start living, drinking. They start doing all kinds of crazy things. They go back to the old ways. They'll hang out places that they used to hang out. They'll go back to it. They always go back. You know what Simon Peter did? When he backslid on God, he went back to the same old stuff he used to do. And Jesus told him, said, you're going to cuss and swear before this night's out. And he did. And look here. Look in Exodus 15. It says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. I mean, singing. Oh, you got Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way up to Genesis 50. And then you go into Exodus. There's no singing that we know of. Now, I realize this. I believe Moses' mother sang songs to him while she was rocking him and nursing him. I believe she sang some songs. But there's no recorded singing. Now, I believe they sang in the Garden of Eden. And you know what? The birds still sing. You come out in the morning, you can hear them birds still singing. The birds still sing. What happened was man quit singing about God. They quit singing praises to God. You know, all the new churches, all the churches that try to build, you know, have the big building and all that stuff, a lot of them got the rock band, and they'll have drums. They'll have the rock band going. You got a guy up there saying, put your hands together, and they're jumping around on the platform like they're like leapfrog, and they're running around shouting and jumping around, and then you see all the people jumping around and dancing around and going doing this stuff. It's all men getting in the flesh when it comes to, I'm talking about not worshiping God. It's just how I feel. It's about me. It's about me. And so you watch some of these churches on TV, man, the people dancing around and all that stuff. They're just singing about, it's just a repeat of, you know, of one word, just a repeat. When you read these songs that were written down, it's about, man, it's more than just one word. It's giving praise to God. And that's what you said, man, it's my ears. I can do whatever I want. I can listen whatever I want. Yeah, you can. It's a free country, man. Listen, whatever you want. You can look whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to worshiping God and pleasing God, you better be careful. Amen. You better be thinking, Lord, what is this? Before you start listening to your music and you start turning on that radio, you better say, Lord, are you pleased with this stuff? Yep. Do you like this stuff?
Yeah. Good. Yep.
If you don't like it, Lord, I don't want to offend you.
Amen.
Why? Because the Bible says you're bought with a price. Amen. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's.
Yep.
God bought you if you're saved. But you got, like I said, you got a lot of churches. That's all they got. People go there and the preacher gets up. He won't preach on sin. You never hear, what's his name, Smiley Face down in Houston, Joel Osteen. You never hear him preach about sin. You never hear him preach about immorality. You don't hear that stuff. You hear about, you know, a better you. How you going to get overcome of this stuff. Now, some of that stuff is needed. How to overcome. But the Bible tells you how to overcome. And you don't have to be a philosopher, but you can read the Word of God. It tells you how to overcome. Yield yourself to God. And that's what the Bible tells us. In Exodus chapter 15, they then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. And look what the song is. The Lord is my strength and song. He is my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Do you know why they're saying the Lord is the man of war? The Lord's wiped out the greatest nation at that time. The strongest nation in all the world at that time was Egypt. He said, the Lord's the man of war. He wiped them out. He told the children of Israel, y'all just go forward. I'll take care of Pharaoh. I'll take care of him. And the Lord does. But when they get on the other side, he goes, okay, now you guys, I tell you what, I want you to take up arms. I want you to start learning how to fight on your own. So I'll help you. But you need to learn. And look at this. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. They're singing about their captors. They're singing about the people that oppressed them for 430 years. I mean, the Jews were the first that we know of in the Word of God. There was slavery all the way through the Bible. The Jews were in slavery to the Egyptians for 400 years. And they beat them, and they whooped them. They killed their children, killed them. And you got these people talking about, you don't understand what we went through. The generation today hadn't gone through nothing. The generations past went through all kinds of stuff. Slavery, all that stuff. There's slavery going on right now in China. There's slavery going on in Indonesia. There's slavery everywhere. And God, you say, God for that? No, no. God never intended man to enslave another man. Never intended that. So they're singing about these captors that they had, and they were singing about how God took care of the enemy. Look at verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. That's what Egypt said. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty sea. So you got singing shows up after a victory. After a victory for the nation of Israel. They start singing praises. But man, singing ought to be practiced in our Christian life as a Christian if you got victory in your life. Amen. And she said, well, if I don't have no victory in my life, then you need to check out what you're doing. Yeah. And you need to see how you're living your life for God. Take your Bible, look in 1 Samuel chapter 22. Look at 2 Samuel 22. David shows up. He's called the Psalmist of Israel. He wrote the whole book of Psalms. It's all singing. He wrote that. David shows up in 2 Samuel, and he's singing. David starts singing. And David, man, you say, well, David, he sang them sissy songs. Oh, he's a sissy. I'll tell you what, I'd like for you to tell David to his face. David, when the Bible says when Saul, he had an unclean spirit on him. They sent for a man, and they found a young man that could play the harp. And that young man came in, and David, and he was a soldier. And David sat in there and played the harp and ran the unclean spirit away from him. So that's how you know that when you listen to music, you bring a spirit, and it brings a spirit. You know, in the movies, they can never show you a scary movie without having this scary music go along with it. If they tried to show you Frankenstein and all the other stuff with the music, no music, it would be a laughing matter. But what they try to do is add music to it, put the music to it. Look in 2 Samuel. Look at this. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of his enemies, all of his enemies. See that thing? I mean, every Christian ought to be singing praises to God. You ought to have a victory song.
Amen.
You know, you ought to have a song that you can sing. You know, well, I was drifting out in sin. I had no hope, no peace within. And Jesus came and made me glad. He's the dearest friend I ever had. Man, I tell you, that's a victory song. That's a victory song. Look at this. David gets delivered from his enemies. And it says, and he said, the Lord is my rock. Isn't that something? That's the way Moses started out. He said, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust him. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. My high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. Amen. The Lord save you from violence. He says, I will call on the Lord who is worthy. Who is worthy to be praised? Man's not worthy to be praised.
Yeah, right.
Man's not worthy to be praised. Somebody always praising man. Praising, and I'm not even, you know, thank God for our president, but I'm not going to praise him and get up there and start praising him. I never forget, I went to hear Jack Hiles one time. And I don't know, Brother Squeak, were you with us when I went in? Brother Pop-Pop of Sage was there. And man, these preachers that were there, Jack Hiles, he was a big name preacher, had over 20,000 Sunday school up in Indiana. And it just bothered me that when he walked into the room, he came out of a back door and came into the room. There was like 700-800 people in the room. And they all started, you know, saying, that's my preacher. And they started clapping. They gave him stand over. There's nothing wrong with giving, Bible says, give honor whom honor is due. But it grieved me. It grieved me the way they were doing it. And everybody in the room stood up. And when I went to stand up, I said, I ain't standing up. So I just sat down right in front of the pulpit. I was right there. And I sat there and folded my arms. I was looking at him. And not that I don't think he should have gotten, you know, a standing ovation, but not the kind of praise that they were doing. They went 10 minutes. 10 minutes of saying, that's my preacher, and clapping and everything. And he kept saying, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. And he kept looking down at me. And I was the only guy sitting, and all the preachers in the room that went to school and everything, they looked at me like, stand up, Ryman, stand up. I wouldn't stand up. I sat there. And when he finally, he said, one thing I can't stand is a standing ovation. And that was funny what he did. He said, second thing I can't stand is when you don't give me one, like that, and pointed at me. And I laughed so hard, he laughed. And then everybody that was mad at me that I didn't stand up, they started laughing. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong with giving honor to somebody, but giving them praise. People give Hollywood actors praise. What do? They're acting. All they are is a bunch of actors. They're really not the person that, some of them probably are the person that they portray, bloody killers and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, some of them, like, what's her name? Anagina or whatever her name. Yeah, whatever. Everybody thinks she's some great woman. Oh, she is, man. She's just, I can't say what she is. Madonna, what is she? People giving her praise. What are all these movie stars? You say, well, they got money. They got fame. Yeah, but they're not even happy. They're trying to kill themselves, some of them. If all you have to live for is money and things, you're miserable. Miserable people. Look at this. Look what David said. He said, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compass me, the floods of ungodly men make me afraid. The sorrow of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevent me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook, God stood up, and trembled, and the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. Then went up a smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of the mouth devoured, and coals were kindled again by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub. You know what a cherub is. It says he rode upon a cherub and did fly. He was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness pavilion around about him, dark waters, thick clouds of the sky. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. I tell you what, you want to be on his side when he starts thundering from heaven. And it says the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out, this is David singing. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them, and the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were dissolved, are discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of his nostrils, of his breath of his nostrils. And he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemies, from them that hate me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands hath he recompensed me. I have kept the way of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. David's singing this song, and God's going, hey, heaven, angels, quit singing. I want to hear what this boy is singing. Why? You know what? What God wanted, a person, a man. Why God made man? He wanted a being that had a free will that would choose over evil, choose good, to love him and serve him. You have your chance. You have your chance now. You can choose between evil and good, whether you're going to serve God or not. You're going to praise him or not. You say, well, I get to heaven, I'll be praising him. I'll tell you what, it'd be good to get started right here. Because you're going to wish to God when you get there, you wish to God you did praise him. Music started in Exodus when they came out from a victory. David started singing praises because of victory. Let me ask you something. You have any victories in your life? You got any victories that you can sing praises to God? Amen. Can you even lift your hand and say, thank you, Lord? Amen. Thank you for your mercy. You know, most Christians can't even lift their hands and thank God for mercy. Most Christians don't even pray over their food. I say Christians. I should say saved people. Don't pray over their food. They listen to the wrong music. They listen to the wrong people. They follow the wrong people. They know every movie, every word of every movie. They know all the different scenes, but they couldn't tell you John 3:16. Couldn't even quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Most Christians, they know every movie. I mean, man, during the pandemic, they said, man, Netflix and all that junk, they were going, you know, people going, because the movie theaters shut down. I started laughing. I thought, man, these people going crazy because Friday night, Saturday night, everybody, I got to go to movies. I got to go to movies. And people, man, they just got to go watch a movie. Got to see a movie. What about reading your Bible? What about fellowship with God? What about praising him? You say, well, that's kind of boring. It's boring to people that don't love him. You don't love him? You're not thankful? It's boring to you. Oh, I'm sure. To me, when I first got saved, I didn't know. Man, it was going to church, sitting there, listening to the guys singing and everything. It's kind of boring to me. I thought, man, we need to pick this up some. We need to get it going. We need to have the music upbeat. And we got our music around here a little bit more upbeat. But I'll tell you what, man, I thought, well, this is kind of boring. But the more I listened to the words, look at the words, I started singing praise. I felt something. Some, you know, most saved people have never felt the presence of God. I'm going to tell you something. When you start worshiping God, he shows up.
Yep. Amen. Yep.
And once he shows up and you feel his presence, you want it all the time. Yep. You want his presence around you all the time. That Bible tells us this. It says the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, Psalm 34, and delivers them. You want his presence. I want the Lord's presence around my property, around the church. I want it around my kids, my grandkids. But what happens is you start trying to find something else to make you happy. You haven't grown to the point. Most saved people are just stayed babies all their life. They know all the movies. They know, and that's what's another thing is funny, no sports. That's kind of funny. Because, man, I mean, I like football. And then my team, the Redskins.
Not now.
Somebody got offended. So they ought to call them the Swamp Dwellers, Washington Swamp Dwellers. And it's crazy, but I think it's kind of funny. All these people making millions of dollars in the sports, they ain't playing them now. Not now. They're trying to get it back. But you know what? Most Christians know every sports guy. They listen to all those talk shows. They listen to all that junk. You know, who's doing what? Who's doing that? They listen to that stuff day in, day out. And they'll argue with you about who's the best. Is Michael Jordan? LeBron James, you know, what's that boy playing on? I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But they start worshiping these guys. They start saying, look at this, man. This guy broke this record. And they start worshiping it. Sports. You know what? You say, what is that going to matter when you get to heaven? You got one of the baddest angels in heaven, Michael the Archangel. One of the baddest angels. Man, what a guy. You start reading about some of the men in the Bible, stood against odds. These guys are making millions of dollars, and they ain't done really nothing but shoot a ball or catch a ball or throw a ball. That's all. And made millions of dollars. Everybody thinks they're the greatest in the world. They never laid down their life for nobody. They wouldn't even spit on you if you were on fire. And they don't even like your God. What a thing. Tell you what, singing is an important part of a Christian's life. Take your Bible, look into Ezekiel. Ezekiel. You knew I was going to go here. The devil knows music better than anybody. And the devil, he knows what's going to damn people to hell. Ezekiel. And look at Ezekiel 28. I've got a bunch of scriptures on this thing, man, a bunch. The devil knows music. Why? Because the Bible says that the day when he was prepared as a cherub, the Bible says the Lord's going to ride a cherub. You know, a cherub is the baddest, the strongest angel, not even archangel. They're a cherub in the Bible. The devil was a cherub. And the devil had pipes built in him, music. He had music. And like I said, the biggest battle I had with music, most people battle music. And when you go to a restaurant, they play music. When you watch a movie, they play music. They're preparing you for something. So when you come to church, you come in, sing songs, prepare you to worship God. You say, well, when I go to a restaurant, I want them to play something to help me eat. If you go to a buffet. But they know if they want you out of there fast, they'll pick the music up. They make it faster. So you'll eat faster and move out of the way. If the business is slow, they'll slow the music down. So you'll eat slower. You ever seen people eating towards the music? Just eating right along with it. And then when the music's slow, they start slowing down. It's just something. It's built in us. Look at this. Ezekiel chapter 28. It says in verse 13. He says, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Talking about the devil. He said, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, barley, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes. See that thing? You know, whenever somebody can sing, like an operatic voice, has an operatic voice. You know what I like to do? I like to go to an opera sometime. And while the guy's really waxing eloquent and singing, I like to stand up and go, yeah, glory to God, brother, that's good. I'd love to do that. That'd be so much fun. He'd just mess him up. Just mess him up. Anyway, that's just something I thought was funny. But anyway, look here. Look at what the Bible says. He said, that's wrong. Yeah, that is wrong. I wouldn't, you know. But anyway, because you know, when a guy's singing opera, you don't even understand what he's saying anyway. How many of y'all understand what... Some of these women that try to get some class, and they say, I want to go to the opera. I care less unless I can eat popcorn and eat a hot dog and get some chili and sit in there and listen to it and then shout it out. But, man, he says, thou art the anointed cherubim. Or back up to verse, look at verse 13. He says, the workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So the Bible tells you that the devil, he said, thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He said, what in the world is that? There's something there, man. He says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise have they filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. The devil was beautiful. Beautiful look on. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. The Bible calls him the angel of light. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, and by I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. The Lord says, I'm going to destroy you. It's going to devour you. I'll take care of you. Why? The devil was built to lead the praises of God. Take your Bible, look in Psalm or Job. Look in the book of Job. Look in the book of Job. The devil was to lead the praises of God. He's called the covering cherubim. In the book of Job, and look at verse chapter 38. Chapter 38. We're talking about singing. The devil knows singing better than anybody. The devil knows how to bring you down by music. You know, all the young guys that want to start a band, you know why they say, here's what they say, we want to become famous and we want all the women. They said in a lot of these concerts, girls would go and strip off their clothes, throw them at the guys. That's how they got to go behind in the stage after the end of the concert, at the end of the show, and they could, you know, get high and mess around. It's all about sex, drugs, rock and roll. You think that's of God? That ain't of God. I've listened to a lot of the interviews like Mick Jagger. What a wimp. Little punks up there singing, dancing around. And, you know, so I like this song. He's a little punk. You know what happens? They get old. And once they get old and they get feeble, they start going, oh my, I don't want to stand before God like this. I don't want to die like this. They start wondering, okay, God, if you're there, I want to know. But they have nothing to show for their life. You have a chance to be able to make something out of your life for Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, what is your life but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away? Amen. Saved person, you got opportunity. You know what? You got younger generation, you could reach the your generation, but you're not trying. All you can think about is yourself. All you got on your mind is what's going to be in it for me. That's the way I was. All I want to do is please me. And most saved people, all they want to do is please me. Look at here. Job chapter 38. I think I hear some bells ringing. And the Lord answered Job I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to tell you, hey, man, I was going to preach on the judgment seat of Christ this morning. On the judgment seat of Christ, because you only got one life. And what you do with it is you can make it count for God. Or you can say, I'm living for my friends. I've had people tell me, if my friends go to hell, I'm going to hell with them. You're a fool. Yeah. Yeah. I even said, even my mom and dad, they got saved, but I said, if they die and go to hell, I ain't going to go to hell with them. Well, my family was this and this and this. Oh, my grandfather was this and this. I ain't going to follow that mess if it wasn't a good heritage. I ain't going to follow that. I'm going to follow what the books, the Lord saved me. I'm going to try to raise my kids. Yeah, when my family grew up, man, my father taught me how to drink, steal, fight, all that stuff. I wanted to be different in my family. And I wanted my children to raise their children different. I pray for them. I don't tell them how to do it. I pray for them. Look at this. Job 38. And the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwinds. He said, who is this that dark counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man. That's the Lord talking. You know what he say? You know, save people. He's going to say, hey, where were you at? So how do you know that? When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, Thomas said, I ain't going to believe unless I see it. I ain't going to believe it unless I can touch him. As soon as Jesus walked in the room, he goes, hey, Thomas, check it out. Touch me. Go ahead, Thomas. Thomas fell on his face. As a pastor of the church, I'm supposed to prepare you to get your thinking right, where you, man, think about serving God, about, man, you know, life after death, about what making your life count for God now. So while I'm young, I'm going to live my life. What if the Lord come back right now? What if he comes back this year? Look what he says. Gird up thy loins like a man. There's going to be a lot of lost people standing before God at the white judgment, at the white throne judgment. They're going to say, you know, I used to say this. I'm going to tell God where he can go. I'm going to tell God blankety blank you. And there's a lot of people saying that out there in the world. And the Lord's going to say, okay, say it, boy. Gird up your loins like a man. Say it now. You know what they're going to do? They're going to wet their pants. That's what they're going to do. Gird up your loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. He's saying that to Job. He said, look what he says. Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? He says, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars, check this out, sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. When the morning stars sang together. So when you look up in the sky at night, you see them stars just a-blinking, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. The Bible talks about angels being stars. Isn't that something? What if all that's up there is a witness in the clouds, in the sky? You see them angels, them stars, planets. He says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. You know what? I always like to be on the winning side. I always like to be on the winning side, if I can be on the winning side. But when I got saved, I got checked in to a winner. And the devil is a loser. He got the big L on his head. He's a loser. And why would you want to follow a loser? Why would you want to put your faith and trust in losers? When you read your Bible, when you know who's going to come out in the end.
Amen.
What is your life but a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away? I was going to go through the history of music this morning. Because you go back, there was a guy that invented some things in Genesis chapter 4 named Jubal. He invented the harp. So you go through, and then you, like you said, you look here in creation. The devil had pipes built in. I mean, they sang in heaven. There should be some singing. When you come to church, when you come in here, you ought to be carrying a Bible. You ought to be looking in your Bible. And you ought to have some praise in your heart. And there ought to be worship. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I remember the day I got saved. I remember what it was like not living for God. I remember what it was like. I always remember where God brought me from. And I'm just thankful. And I don't care what anybody thinks. When it comes to me praising God, I don't care what anybody thinks. It makes no difference to me. I don't care what they don't like it or not. It makes no difference. You got to make up your mind. I love God more than I love this world. I love God more than I love myself. Every man loves himself. You got to make up your mind. Am I going to use my mouth and my ears and my eyes for God? Or am I going to, in my hands, my feet, or am I going to use it to satisfy me, just me, me, me. Y'all been waiting for me to say it. The guy who wrote that country song. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one. That's the way most saved people live.
Yep.
Music in the Bible, man, is giving God praise. I love these songs. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It says, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
Count your blessings.
Amen.
Be careful what you're listening to. Because what it does, it conditions you. The world conditions you by music. Daniel chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar built his big image, this is how the Antichrist is going to do it, folks. Exactly. No doubt in my mind. Daniel chapter 2, he built the image, and he said, I'm going to have the music play. You bow down when the music plays. The Antichrist is going to do the same thing. You notice every political campaign, they have a band. All the talk show hosts, they'll have, you know, late night talk, they have a band to get the people prepared. They got a band. They know how to use the music. The world knows how to use music. The devil knows how to use music. But let me tell you something else. God knows how to use music. If you'll give your ears, your eyes, your mouth, everything, say, Lord, I don't belong to me. I don't want Lucifer to have it. I don't want him to have no part of it. Look with me at one last place. I got so much here I wrote down. But look at this. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. You got some CDs out there that you shouldn't be listening to? Get rid of them. I've even bought some Christians, so-called Christian CDs, and I listened to it and I threw them out the window. I said, man, that's terrible. That is terrible. They got more rock and roll in the thing than... Look in Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse 12. And back up to 11. He says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So how many is that? That's a slew of people, brother.
Yeah.
That's a slew. You say, well, heavens, it's going to have a few people in it. No, it's going to be a slew of people. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be on him that sitteth on the throne and on the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Man, I tell you what, it ain't going to be boring in heaven. It ain't going to be boring around the throne when the angels get singing. It's nothing like hearing a good choir sing. Nothing like hearing I love our choir when it sings. It fires me up. I tell you what, I want to get music that fires me up for God and living for him. Makes me think about him. We sat around when Danny Hall died. We were down in Tennessee. And somebody posted it. And we was all sitting around. We was in Danny's house. And we was down there, his wife was sitting over in the corner, and we all started singing. This is after coming from the funeral, coming from the church after we ate. We sat in Danny's house, probably it was so packed in there, we couldn't even hardly move. But we all started singing some of the songs that Danny sang. And Danny would get up here, and him and his wife would sing those songs. Man, we all got around and started singing. Old Gary Duty was there playing his guitar, singing. And man, we got weeping, shouting, praising God. Old brother Danny Hall, he's been gone for a little while now. But it's only been, to him, it's only been a few minutes. Yep. See, what is Danny doing? He's rejoicing. Man rejoicing. He sang the Lord's song in a strange land. He did sing the Lord's song. We can sing the Lord's song in a strange land. We can sing it. But if you sing the other song, that's strange. If you sing the songs of this world about, you know, country music now has turned into the 60s rock and roll. That's what it's done. And people don't like for me to say anything about their country music. They say, oh, you can talk about rock music. You can talk about rap music, but don't you say nothing about my country music. That country music is just as wicked as the rest of it. It's like hard whiskey or you know, slow gin or whatever it is. It's you know, a beer. It's just all going to the same spot.
Yep.
It's just as bad.
Yep.
So, I'm for singing the Lord's song and praising him and worshiping him.
Amen.
And you know what? Ain't a whole lot that going on. Not around the world. Ain't a whole lot. It got the coronavirus, got people going through all kinds of troubles and stuff, and they're worried about this, worried about that, and seeing the news and riots and all that, and people, man, scared to death. They ain't singing God's song. We ought to be singing the Lord's song. We ought to be whistling or singing. I went into a restaurant, me and the grandkids the other day, and I went back. I said, y'all dare me? And they said, well, I'm going to sing to them. I started singing. People stopped, looked. He said, you do that? Oh, yeah, man. And get some people, they were, you know, just looked like they're disgusted. Maybe it's because my voice. And I know if Ron started in a restaurant, we'd probably get tomatoes and everything thrown at us. But I know people looked at me like they were disgusted, but then some people say, Amen. You'll find Christians in among those crowd. You'll find some that appreciate people that will take a public stand for God. Amen. You got ears, you got eyes, you got a mouth. You got hands, you got feet, you got a body. Who you yield your members to is who you're servant to. Father, thank you again for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I pray, God, help us to yield ourselves completely to you, Lord. Help us listen to what we ought to listen to for your glory and honor. And Father, people can take this message, take it or leave it. They can take it or leave it. But just trying to prepare them when they stand before you. Our lives are going to be played. And my Father, when you do something, we do something for you. And we listen to right music, we won't be ashamed of it. And the music we listen to is what we become. Help us, Lord God, to love you, honor you, praise you. Save that one today. It's nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen.